is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Reuters headline in these last hours: Pakistan's Imran Khan openly accuses military of trying to destroy his party. Khan has hinted, writes the copy, hinted previously at the military's hand in a crackdown on his Pakistan party, but his comments in an interview at his Lahore home were the most blunt yet. I welcome Hossein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, and Bill Rajo, the senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, keeping the Long War Journal. This is the subcontinent. Pakistan has been beleaguered by natural and unnatural disasters these last years. Right now, the flooding and the famine are dominating the story on the street. But in the executive suites, especially in Islamabad and Lahore and Karachi, the major cities, Imran Khan is much on the mind, the former prime minister. Hussein, a very good evening to you. Khan now accuses the army directly, not just the general in charge, but everyone in the army. Is this considered reckless in Pakistan, or is this normal fare for his rhetoric? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Imran Khan is a narcissist. He is a populist. He's popular in certain segments of the population, but his personality requires attention all the time. So once he was kicked out of the office of prime minister through a parliamentary vote of no confidence, which is normal in parliamentary democracy, he came up with the anti-American theory of an American conspiracy. Then he went to the streets. He just can't stay still. If he had stayed still, maybe there would have been an election by now in which he would have performed well and probably had a chance of coming back into office. So he keeps upping the ante. And he has been accusing the army and the army leadership for quite some time. I guess the Reuters headline is a bit misleading, saying that this is the first time. Maybe he said it first time to Reuters in so many words, but he said it to others. The fact of the matter is that the army has had enough of him. The army calls the shots in Pakistan, rightly or wrongly. The army supported Imran Khan. That's why he came into office. The army withdrew support. That's why he fell from power. And now the army has decided that because he's so reckless, that he first blamed the Americans, then he blamed the army chief, now he's blaming the army. His supporters attacked military installations, unprecedented. Would the United States countenance attacks on military installations, including facilities of the Air Force, people trying to destroy planes that cost a lot of money, and all of it has been found to be orchestrated. It wasn't like it wasn't like millions of people all of a sudden walking out in the streets because they thought, oh God, something wrong has happened, and it was a spontaneous protest. The military has found evidence and the police has found evidence that these people actually had a plan to do it, because that's what Imran Khan wanted. He thought this would force the military to negotiate with him. That didn't happen. And so that didn't happen. Now he's internationalizing the issue. He's trying to be Pakistan's new face of democracy and the battle for human rights, things that he belittled in the past. Everybody who has fought for democracy in Pakistan and human rights has for the last 20 years been belittled by Imran Khan as anti-Pakistan. Now, unfortunately or fortunately, he has to don the same mantle to be able to survive politically. But my prediction still is he won't.
Bill, a very good day to you. The Voice of America's article about China and the Taliban suggests that the Taliban is looking to integrate itself into its neighborhood. Now we have this disruption in Pakistan, and I'm presuming the Taliban is not alienated from Pakistan to the point that it's going to turn its back on something as turbulent as Imran Khan. Let's first speak to China. Can we characterize China's approach to the Taliban? There's a Voice of America photograph showing Chinese wolf warriors sitting in a room with Taliban jihadists, and everyone's looking extremely formal. What is the relationship, Bill? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Yes, and first, to your point, yeah, the situation with Imran Khan, border conflicts, none of this is going to change that strategic relationship that Pakistan has with the Taliban. Pakistan wants and has that strategic depth within Afghanistan. it sacrificed tens of thousands of its citizens during the worst of the insurgency from 2007 to 2014-15. So what's a couple of hundred citizens? What's a dispute over a political leader? As far as the Taliban-Chinese relationship going goes, this is something that's been developing since the Taliban overthrew the previous Afghan government. It's a transactional relationship between the two, just as long as the Taliban keep the rap on the Turkestan Islamic Party, which is an al-Qaeda-linked group that fights alongside the Taliban, that shelters in Afghanistan. As long as they stay on the Afghan side of the border, the Chinese are perfectly happy in conducting a transactional relationship with the Taliban. The Chinese are not going to ask the Taliban to respect human rights. The Chinese don't respect human rights on their own. And it's ironic because the Chinese are have millions of Uyghurs in internment camps inside of China. This is one of the issues with the Turkestan Islamic Party. But the Chinese, they want minerals. They want access to the Afghan market. They want all of the things that they can extract from Afghanistan to create the products that it exports worldwide. And they'll get all that. They'll help the Taliban govern. They'll help the Taliban get the things that it needs, give it cash in order to make this happen, John. And that's how the Chinese, they don't care about human rights. They don't care about women going to work in the workplace or girls going to school. They're just looking at the bottom line here. How does this benefit China?
The photograph bill requires a second look. We're looking at blue-suited Chinese diplomats along with the Chinese ambassador to Afghanistan, Wang Yu. Several of them have high and tight haircuts, Marine style. And across the room are the Taliban sitting with their long beards and their usual affair, staring, and they're doing as best they can to take notes the way the Chinese diplomats take notes. This is two worlds coming together, Bill, in a room that I'm presuming USAID built. There's a Persian carpet. The coffee tables look Chinese made, but perfectly acceptable. And they're sitting in armchairs. Bill, does this make you smile?
I'm laughing as you're going through this. They're sitting with Sarahjuddin Haqqani, who's a specially designated global terrorist who's wanted for his close ties with al-Qaeda as well as the Pakistani state. Also note in the picture, the Chinese are all diplomats are all masked. The Taliban aren't. I think the Taliban are in their element here. They have the Chinese coming to them. And you're absolutely right. This is a room that's certainly been paid for by USAID. This is a Taliban victory photo, right, in a sense, right? They have the Chinese eating out of their hands here. This is just a propaganda coup. I mean, I'm not smiling because I'm happy about this. It's just the irony in all of this and how this is all played out, just how badly we've played this game in Afghanistan. And this is what concerns me about other foreign involvements as we go forward in the U.S. foreign involvements.
Mr. Ambassador, a crisis in your country once upon a time, 27 December 2007, I'm sure you remember it well. Rawalpindi, the headquarters of the Pakistan Army, and an assassination of Benazir Bhutto as she was campaigning for to be prime minister again. I bring that up because it reminds me always that things go to extremes in Pakistan before they correct. Is Imran Khan daring some element of the army? Rawalpindi made the army a suspect in that assassination. Is he daring them to do to him what happened to Ms. Bhutto?
I don't think that Imran Khan would be eliminated the way Benazir Bhutto was. Look, Benazir Bhutto stood against the Taliban. She was killed by Pakistan, Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan, which took credit for her assassination. And were there people? And then she had a long-running battle with Pakistani intelligence for many, many years because she wanted to control foreign policy as an elected leader, was thrown out of office twice after having been elected twice. This would have been her third term. Her husband ended up getting the office. Imran Khan doesn't have any of that history. All he is a renegade former tool. And so while his statements are offensive, he has not yet offended anybody in that sense in policy terms. He remains sympathetic to the Taliban. He remains anti-American in his heart. He remains anti-Indian in his heart. All he's doing is he's like a child who is crying for attention. So all he's saying is the army is eliminating my party. I really want to talk to the army. They should negotiate with me and all will be well. He is not talking in terms of constitutional rule. He's not talking in terms of civilian supremacy. He occasionally talks about democracy because he thinks that because he's popular, he can win an election. But he hasn't to this day said a word against past military interventions. The son of General Zia-ul-Haq is in his party. The grandson of the first Pakistani military dictator is in party. Everybody who was in General Musharraf's cabinet is in his party. So the party is essentially a party of former, of establishment people, generally tied to the military. It's just that Imran has kind of, because of his unique personality, taken on this revolutionary persona. And of course, if you think about what happened on May 9 when the military installations were attacked, that was also a kind of a pseudo-revolutionary act. The military is not going to take that. And that is why I think Imran Khan's personal political prospects are rather poor. But I don't think that he will come to physical harm. It is not in the interest of the Pakistani military to do that. Will he be sent to prison? Probably. Till such time as he pipes down and understands that his innings, to use a cricket term, his innings are over. He's not understanding that. And he's not playing by Pakistan's rules. Now, I'm somebody who has criticized Pakistan's rules a lot. I always say Pakistan should have full constitutional democracy. Civilians should have full control. But that reality doesn't exist. I mean, it's a desire. It's an ideal. It doesn't exist. So what exists in that particular context, I think what Imran Khan is trying to do is fight for his personal survival, not for any principle. And because there is no principle involved, he doesn't need to be physically eliminated or hurt. All that needs to be done is make sure that he can't contest a future election. He's also 70 years old. And so therefore, if he is kept out of the political game for 5-10 years, maybe he will not necessarily be relevant anyway. That's the military's plan as I see it.
Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States at the Hudson Institute, Bill Rajo, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He keeps the Long War Journal. When we come back, Al-Qaeda in Africa, aggressive and successful. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.